All right, well, let me jump on into the opening monologue, the Right Side Way opening monologue. And I'll just remind you guys that every single day, the Right Side Way monologue is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, law firm of Wilmer & Lee, 30-year veteran in the practice of law. And oh, yeah, he is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, listen, I got to start off by saying this. I'm looking at the wrong one. So let me just go over here and say this. I'm amazed at what some people can do. I'm amazed at what some people can do. I'm looking at some, like sometimes it's the big dogs. It's the ones with all the looks. It's the money. It's the power. But you expect that, right? I'm actually more impressed, though, with people who are just everyday run-of-the-mill Joes and Janes who basically step up and get busy, who see something that needs doing and something that needs saying and some dream they haven't followed yet. And the uncommon side of the common man just decides to start, right? And they wind up doing uncommon things. So I'll kick off this monologue, though, before I get into that and say that all my life I've enjoyed reading. I do. I go back and forth between books that have some meaning, books that tell history, and then just, you know, good old novels. I'm impressed by people that can use words with such descriptive ability. And you feel like you can actually see what the words are describing. You can read words on a page and get wrapped up in the emotions or the tensions or the joys of what's going on with the characters. And I've had some favorite authors over the years. And for nonfiction, all right, here you go. For nonfiction, I'm a big fan of a guy named John Krakauer. I'm not sure if you read his stuff or not. He wrote a book called Into Thin Air, a true recounting about a disastrous attempt to climb Mount Everest. It was one of the few times I can recall reading a book and actually shouting out loud when I read one passage about a man that everybody thought was dead suddenly walking down off of Everest like a frozen zombie. All right, I love historical fiction, too. A guy named Stephen Pressfield is one of my favorite historical fiction novelists. He wrote the book called Gates of Fire, about the 300 Spartans who stood in the way of the mighty Persian army at Thermopylae. It's a well-researched fiction based on reality that is so incredibly well done. It's been mandatory reading for young army officers in military circles for years. All right, for nonfiction, I'm a huge fan of J. Oswald Sanders, who wrote a book called Spiritual Leadership. It's a book that I've talked about several times on this show. It's a book that's had a life-changing effect on me. And I also really love John Maxwell, the prolific writer on leadership principles, who's one of the few authors who actually has multiple books on my shelves in my study at home. And I tell you what, let me wrap up with this by saying, as long as I'm going into my favorites, I got to say that my newest addition to the favorite author list is Jack Carr, the former Navy SEAL who now writes a series of thrillers called the Terminal List series. Some of those are the most realistically written novels I have ever come across. All good stuff, all worthy of reads, all authors that I would love to meet personally someday. But here's the thing. Every one of those guys was not an author at one point. They weren't. They just had an idea. They were just common dudes, and they put their first word down on paper or in their computer, and what happened was sometimes quick and sometimes not so quick, but eventually each one of those men became best-selling authors. And they were just uncommon, common men doing uncommon things. But if I had to pick one guy who sparks my interest in reading, and for whom I have read nearly everything he wrote, it would have to be fictional author Tom Clancy. All right, nobody in modern history has done more to shape the dynamics of modern publishing than Clancy. And I don't say that lightly. It's true. And it is a tale worth telling. So let me tell it to you. So Tom Clancy was not an author by trade. He was a guy who had wanted to go to the military when he was young, but he had problems with his vision, so that disqualified him from military service. So he became an insurance salesman. No kidding. I mean, how absolutely ordinary does that sound? Tom Clancy was born in Baltimore in 1947. His dad worked for the post office. His mom worked in a department store. He was a Boy Scout. He went to Catholic school. Eventually, he went to Loyola University to get his college degree in physics. But his grades were so bad that he switched his major to English because, in his own words, it was easier. And even still, he was a really average student. Like literally average. He graduated from Loyola with a 1.9 GPA on a 4-point scale. That's a C student, y'all. Tom Clancy. And after college, like I said, in the early 70s, he became an insurance salesman. Just a common guy, right? But then he started writing. And his first novel is one of my all-time favorites, The Hunt for Red October. It's a fictional accounting of what would happen if a Soviet submarine commander decided to defect to the West with his nuclear sub. Clancy finished the book in 1982, and in 1984, he finally found a small publishing house that would give it a shot. So he sold Red October for $5,000. $5,000. It's chump change. The publisher, they hoped they would be able to sell maybe 5,000 copies, but it immediately sold 45,000 copies. That's interesting. But then something happened. Ronald Reagan read it, and he mentioned it once in public, saying that it was one of the best yarns he had ever read. And the sales immediately jumped to 300,000 in hardcover and over 2 million in paperback. His first book was a national bestseller. One of Reagan's senior staffers was so impressed with Clancy's technical ability to write about U.S. and Soviet intelligence and naval doctrine that he actually bought multiple copies and gave them out to all the staff in the West Wing. Rumors have abounded for years that the FBI actually spent time questioning Clancy to see where he got all his information for the book, but it was really to somebody who knew how to research and how to write. Tom Clancy is one of only a handful of authors to sell over 2 million copies of a first printing. Very few people have ever done that. And most of you know, he continued writing in a big way. He had 17 of his novels become New York Times bestsellers. More than 100 million of his books have been sold. 8 of them have been made into movies or TV shows. 4 of them have been turned into best-selling video games. He made millions. He even became a part owner of the Baltimore Orioles baseball team. I once read his book, The Sum of All Fears, about a terrorist getting a nuclear device into the United States, and I was amazed at the depth of it. And there's one section in which the nuclear bomb is detonated, and Clancy, he literally took several pages to describe the splitting of the atom and the series of chain reactions that lead to the explosion. Pages for one explosion. In his book, Dead of Honor, I can still remember thinking the solution that his main character, Jack Ryan, came up with for bringing a crashed Wall Street back online was like simple genius. And I've actually used it when I've taught leadership multiple times. Tom Clancy was a really normal guy. Just a common man. Somebody you might have passed in the grocery store and not even thought twice about, but he was an uncommon common man who did uncommon things. His writings are actually credited with having changed the publishing world, literally. The whole genre of modern military techno-thrillers is now attributed to his work. Publishing houses opened whole new divisions just to look for more Clancy-style authors. He developed his own publishing empire. He helped to elevate other aspiring writers. His name actually became the banner under which other authors would then work. One pundit said that Clancy was to military literature what Starbucks was to coffee. I'm telling you, folks, it's as if the world suddenly had fiction, nonfiction, and Clancy, his own category. And I tell you all this, not because I want you to run out and buy a Tom Clancy novel, although you might. I tell you all of this because I don't want any one of you who's listening to this to underestimate your own abilities. You see, Clancy was the most common of uncommon men. He would go to do uncommon things, and he dined with presidents. He still looked like an insurance salesman, just a dude, like all of us, just a guy with a C average in college and no real thought about what was next, but he had an idea. He had an itch he had to scratch. And this notion that he could be a C student in English and still write a good book, well, he changed the literary world. And some of you out there have been sitting on an idea because you don't trust yourself. Or maybe you think of yourselves as being just too common to do the uncommon things. If there was ever a role model for doing something that nobody expected, it was Tom Clancy. I had a pastor once who gave one of the few sermons that was so good that I had to get a copy of it. His message was that sometimes what God calls us to do is just start. Just start. He used to say with some old man wisdom that many think but few know, and many are called but few go. And then he would say, just start. So that's my message for today. All you common folk, all of you uncommon common folk who could actually do uncommon things if you got started, I'm saying just start. Look at Tom Clancy. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.